All right, Tabo Sai. Good morning. Let's begin. So hopefully you have. I handed out an additional sheet, a new sheet for today. So Tabo Sai, we left off. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We left off 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Am Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. Remember again, we're in the middle of the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. If a man has relations with his sister, Haba Achoso Vihi Bas Eshes Aviv, and she's the daughter of his father's wife, so what are you chayiv for? According to the Tanakama, you are chayiv for both Achoso and Bas Eshes Aviv, and according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, you are only chayiv for Achoso and not Bas Eshes Aviv. So the Gemara was saying, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, hi Bas Eshes Avicha my Avidli. What does he do with that phrase, Bas Eshes Avicha? Mi boile mi shiyesh lo ishes la Avicha. This comes to include that you're only chayiv for a sister, for a paternal sister, who was born from someone with whom your father has the ability to technically marry. Prat la'achoso mishivcha va'ovedes kochavim. Shein ishes la'avicha ba. This comes to exclude again if your father is a child, a daughter, with a shivcha or with an ovedes kochavim. There is no marriage with these women, and therefore lamaisa again, one would not be chayiv ultimately for having relations with this girl. That ema prat la'achoso mi'anusa. But maybe it comes to exclude. Maybe it comes to exclude a sister who is born from a woman whom the father violated. Hahilo masasamris. No, you can't go ahead and include that one or exclude that one. Midrava. Dirava ramiksiv. Rava contrasts two psukim. On one hand, the Torah says, Ervas bas bincha, o bas bitcha lo sigala. So the Torah says, the nakedness of the daughter of your daughter or the daughter of your son, you shall not reveal. Ha bas bina dida, u bas bita dida. Shari, but yet we can infer from that the daughter of her son, your wife's son, or the daughter of your daughter's daughter should be permitted, but yet the pasuk says uksiv ervas isha ubita lo sigala. But yet the pasuk says the nakedness again of a woman and her daughter you shall not uncover as bas bina ves bas bita. Okay, so I was saying here the pasuk explicitly says that it's usur. Okay, so how do you reconcile this? Kan ba'onsin. One is talking about a case of where the man violated the woman. One is a case of where there was technical marriage. Look at Rashi. Kan ba'onsin, that's Rashi on the daf. Ervas bas bincha me'anusasa lo sigala. Ha bas bina me'ish acher gala. Delav ishtachahi. Umiyu bina mina onsin binohu. Dechem bito hilcha akabe ach banami achbu. So both says, the Gemara there makes a distinction, ultimately again, between children fathered from one's wife, before one's wife was married to the individual, she was married to another man, the ervas of those offspring, versus again the erva ultimately of a child produced from an act of rape. So what the Gemara now is saying over here is that if a father violated a woman and then ultimately again has a child, that child is considered to be the relative of the father's, we'll call it, legally born children. So therefore again, so essentially for our purposes over here, that a sister born from an act of violation ultimately would still be a sister for erva purposes. Top of Chav Gimel. The ema prat l'chai ve'lavin. Maybe it comes to exclude chai ve'lavin. What does that mean? Rashi says, im nasa aviv mamzeres v'holid bas. Let's say again, we'll call the father Yaakov. Yaakov married a mamzeres. Remember again, technically speaking, Kiddushinist, we've already established it. It's important to know, according to everybody but Rabbi Akiva, so Kiddushin works. Kiddushin is effective in Lavin, in the case where a marriage is prohibited by a Lav. So say that the case over here is where the father married a Mamzeres, they had a daughter, meaning Yaakov and the Mamzeres have a daughter. Therefore, what? V'holid bas lav achosehi ve'ema delo tavsi b'kiddushin. So we'll say, perhaps what the psukim are coming to exclude is the following, that if Yaakov has a child with a Mamzeres, Yaakov is a child with the Mamzeres, ultimately a daughter, and then let's say Yaakov has another child with Leah, and we'll call him Reuven. Reuven is a legally born child, and then the other daughter is a Mamzeres. I might have thought that if Reuven has relations with his paternal sister, that his biological paternal sister, that he shouldn't be chayiv for a case like that. Maybe that's what the Torah is coming to exclude. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Amra Papa, It can't be, because again, we know that by chayvei lavin, kiddushin still works. The chsiv, ki siyena le'ish shtei nashim ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua. Rabbi say, how do I know that kiddushin is tovsin b'chayvei lavin? How do I know that kiddushin takes effect with a woman who is prohibited by a law from this particular man? Because there's something very interesting. If a man will have two wives, one who is loved and one who is despised, it's actually very interesting. V'chiyesh ahuva lefnei amakom, v'yesh snua lefnei amakom. Is there such a thing as a wife who is loved and a wife who is despised before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Meaning, we'll say it's a strange, interesting enough, it's a strange terminology here. Now, again, the truth is not so strange because the context is talking about, again, remember, this is Parshas Kisetze. So this is first the Ifas Toar, the war bride. Then ultimately, there's a progression. The Torah says, if you end up marrying this woman, you're not going to love her. Then remember, what's after, right after that is Ben Sora and Mora. So all of the things. But yet, from the Gemara, so that's a strange way to phrase a halacha. Is it possible that, again, that there's a woman who's beloved and a woman who's despised in front of God? Ella, listen, this is actually very interesting. Ella ahuva, ahuva binisu'eha, sinua binisu'eha. But rather, what is he referring to? The Gemara says on a technical level, there is a woman who is loved in that what? Her marriage is a good marriage. And there is a woman who is despised in that what? Her marital union is despised. They both say, what does that mean? Your marital union is despised. What does that mean? It's usher. It's also, so there are kiddush, there are marriages that are blessed, i.e. they're legal. There are marriages that are not blessed, i.e. they're illegal. But yet what? And yet the Torah says, kisiyena is what? A lashon of havia, a lashon of marriage, which tells us that what? That even a marital union that is despised, i.e. is illegal, still works, right? It's still, meaning the marital union could still be established. Obviously, this is limited now to chayvei lavin, as he pointed out. Does not include any marriage or any relationship that's punishable by kares or by nisa. Ve'ema prat lachayvei krisus. So maybe it comes to exclude. Well, remember, we're trying to figure out over here what could possibly be excluded by this, which sister case could possibly be excluded from the prohibition. So the Gemara says, maybe it comes to include chayvei krisus or exclude chayvei krisus, meaning that if a man fathered a daughter with a woman who is a chayv koristim, a man fathers a daughter with another man's wife, commits adultery, right? Isser misa. So what happens? So I would have thought maybe again, if the man's biological son has relations again with this paternal sister, perhaps he's not chayv for that. Amarava amakra ervas achoscha basavicha o basimecha moledes bayis umoledes chutz. Therefore, the pasuk says, the erva of your sister, whether she is the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother, born of your home, or born on the outside. What does that mean? Bein she'omrim lo la'avicha kiyem, bein she'omrim lo la'avicha hotze. Whether this sister is born of a union that we would tell the father you're permitted to maintain it, or whether the daughter is born of a union that we would obligate the father to just get out of it. And yet the pasuk says, no matter what the union was, ultimately, again, this girl is still considered to be the biological sister of this man. Ema bein she'omer lo avicha kayem, bein she'omer lo avicha hotzei, v'amrachman achoschahi, l'rabos achoso mishifka v'avades kochavim. Oh, so maybe that comes to include what? Maybe you could even say that this comes to include a daughter that is ultimately born from a shifcha or from a avades kochavim. Maybe even if we're saying over here that it's achoschahi, no matter what, it's always your sister, whatever girl that your father fathers, whatever girl that is born of your father is considered to be your sister, almost irrelevant of your father's relationship to the biological mother of this girl. So maybe I'd see over here the same thing like this, that even if he fathers a daughter with who? A shifcha, a non-Jewish maidservant, or again, ovedes kochavim, non-Jewish woman, might say that should also be your sister. No. Amakra bas avicha. Bas eshes avicha. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, who is considered to be your sister? The daughter of your father's wife. Now, both say, we've already established that your father doesn't have to be married to the woman with whom he fathers the daughter in order for the daughter to ultimately be considered your sister. So what does that mean? Mishi yeshlo ishus la'avicha. It has to be someone with whom your father could, technically speaking, have a marital bond. prat la'achosam mishivcha va'ovedes kochavim. It comes to exclude the case of shivcha and ovedes kochavim, who the father could not maintain a marital or could not create a marital bond. Umarois, how do you know? How do you know to exclude this case? So, you see what ended up happening over here? What ended up happening over here is we're now coming to exclude the case. This is very interesting. We're coming to exclude the case of Shivcha and Ovedes Kochavim to say that if the father, we'll call him Yaakov, if the father fathers a daughter with the Shivcha Ovedes Kochavim, that's not your sister. But yet what? All of these other crazy cases, if he goes ahead and he fathers a daughter with any of these other women, it is your sister. So how do you know to exclude the Shivcha and Ovedes Kochavim? Once you're including every other crazy case that all these girls fathered from these crazy unions are considered to be your sister, why don't you just include this one? How do you know not to include this one? Ma Ra'is means, why did you see fit to exclude this case while you are including all of the other cases? To which the Gemara says, and let's take this even a step further. Remember, what we also just included was what? Was even cases where the Father Yaakov fathered a daughter with who? With women who are a chi of karistim. So for example, now, if Father Yaakov goes ahead and fathers a daughter with another man's wife, a chi of karis, or for that matter, fathers a daughter with his own sister, an act of incest, we've established that what? The product of those unions, a girl from that union, is the sister of Yaakov's own, we'll call him legal biological son. So now that you're including all of these other cases, so how do you know to exclude Shivcha and Ovedes Kochavim? The Gemara has to tell you why. Mistabra, Chayvi Krisus, Havilel Rabos, Shekein Tav Se Bahen Kedushin La'ama. Because Rabos saying, this woman who is a Chi of Kares to Yaakov, she's a Chi of Kares to Yaakov, but what? She's permitted to other men, i.e., she's in the Parsha of marriage. She's in the Parsha of marriage. She's what we'll call marriage material, Judaic marriage material. However, again, on the other hand, as opposed to who? As opposed to Shivcha and Avedas Kochavim, who what? Who are not marriage material for anyone. They're not in the parasha of marriage. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, when the Torah says Bas Eisha Savicha, what it means to say is like this. If your father fathers a daughter with any woman who is in the parasha of marriage, it might be illegal for him to marry her. But she's quote-unquote within the Judaic parasha of marriage, then what? Then the girl from that union is what, Rabosai? Is what is your sister. But if your father fathers a daughter with a woman who is not Judaic marriage material, then what? Then Lamai said that girl is not your sister. So Moses Adraba, I can say just the opposite. Shivcha v'avedes kochavim havele l'rabos, but I could say just the opposite. I would include a girl born to the father and the avedes kochavim shivcha kinanis. Why? Di'i megayra l'didei nabi tafsibu kedushin. I'll tell you even better, because these women rabosai, if they would convert, then technically what? The man himself, the father himself, Father Yaakov, could go ahead and marry them. Let's say, assuming he's not a Kohen. Let's make that assumption. So meaning, these women might even be better Judaic marriage material, because all we need them to do is convert, and then they're fully Jewish. So the Gemara says, no. L'chi megayra gufa achrinahi. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good answer, because again, if she converts, then panum chadosh is balakan. You know, that is, as we've established, gershin iskari kikata shenol adami, if they convert, that's not the same person. It's a radically different individual. So now we've established pretty much according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, that lemais, again, pretty much every single case, even illicit unions, will go ahead and produce a prohibition of a sister, with the exception of if one's father fathers a daughter with a shivcha or an avedes kochavim. So how do the rabbis know that if Father Yaakov fathers a daughter with a shivcha or avedes kochavim, that Yaakov's, we'll call him legal son, is not prohibited to that girl by the prohibition of a sister? So where do we learn that from? Because the Pasuk says explicitly, by the Shivcha, that's what? That if, we'll say this is if an Eved Ivri goes ahead and fathers children with a Shivcha Kinanis, which is permitted. So you have a Jewish servant fathering children with a non-Jewish maidservant, that both the maidservant as well as her offspring are the property of the master, which indicates to us what? That they they do not have a Jewish identity. Rabbi Yossi will say, Chad b'shifcha v'chad b'alved eskochavim. The truth is, again, I will say what? We have two different sources. One source teaches us that the offspring of a shifcha are not Jewish, but rather, again, they go after the shifcha. And one source teaches us that what? That lemaisa, again, the offspring of an avedes kochavim, are like her and not like her Jewish mate. So the Gemara says, and we need both of them. Why? Diashmo inan shifcha mishum de'in lechayis. I might have thought that the reason why a shifcha, her children are not Jewish, is because the shifcha herself has no yichus. Shifcha herself has no yichus. Look at Rashi. Ein lo yachas, d'chsev im achamar, v'ovedes kochav misyachas Hashem aviyah. So we'll say a shifcha, ultimately, again, for slaves often were the most immoral individuals in society, and often again did not have firmly established yichus. So I understand why the offspring can't be considered Jewish because it comes from a mother with no yichus. However, again, but a Gentile who does have yichus, again, perhaps, lemaisa, there's a chance that child could, meaning we know exactly the lineage of the child's mother and the child's Jewish father, perhaps the child could be considered Jewish. Therefore, again, not the iash, therefore it has to teach us both, that both the offspring of avodas kochavim and shifcha are both not Jewish. And if you would have just told me that the offspring of an avedes kochavim is not Jewish, I would say okay, because an avedes kochavim has no connection to mitzvos, meaning it's not even a little bit Jewish. Aval shifcha the sheicha b'mitzvos emolo. I might have thought what? Remember, a shifcha cannot. It's an interesting idea when you have a non-Jewish slave, there's a non-Jewish servant that comes the property of the Jew. So remember again, there's what's called a tvila l'shem avdos. There is an immersion for the sake of servitude. And that servant actually becomes obligated in certain mitzvos. It's a very interesting idea. But the point is, they're obligated in certain things. As part of living in a Jewish household, they're obligated in certain things. So I might have thought, therefore, if a Jewish man fathers a child with a shifcha kinanis, that's not the same as an avedes kochavim. An avedes kochavim, again, she has no shaychus to Judaism at all. Shifcha has a shtickel shaychus. She has a little bit of a connection. She's living in a Jewish household. She is obligated in certain things. Is she Jewish? She's not Jewish, but she's obligated nevertheless in certain things. So maybe again, the child, the product of that union, should be Jewish, or at least, yeah, we'll call it should be Jewish. Therefore, again, emalo, I would say such a child is not like the mother, but is in fact Jewish. Therefore, tzicha. Therefore, I will say we need two different sources to teach us both of these ideas, meaning one could not be learned out from the other. And therefore, both sources together teach us that whether the Jewish man fathers a child with the Gentile woman or with the slave woman, both children are like the mother and not Jewish. V'rabanan, ashkichon shivcha. Now, the rabbis explained to us how we know that a child fathered with the shifcha ultimately is not Jewish, because they just quoted the pasuk of Ha'isha v'yiladeha tihiyeh la'adoneha. However, again, avodos kochavim inalhu. How do the rabbanon know that if a Jewish man has a child with a Gentile woman, that those children are not Jewish? How do we know that? So the Gemara says, v'chi teima ne'lef m'shifcha hano mitrach tzvichi. So we'll say again, if you'll say you learn out avedes kochavim from shifcha, so already we've just established that what? You can't learn them out one from the other, because they are too dissimilar. So where do you learn out shifcha from? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Amar Krabal says very important, because the pasuk says, Ki yasir es bincha me'acharai. Me'acharai. So we'll say, listen to this. The context in Devarim is talking about the idea of, well, the context really is that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, you have to drive out the other nations. Because if you don't drive out the other nations, then ultimately they're going to be a perpetual thorn in your side. So right beforehand, the Pasuk says, if you don't drive them out, you will come to give your daughters to their sons. Okay, so you'll come to marry off your daughters to their sons. So the Gemara says, therefore, and what's going to happen? They're going to have children. Ki yosir es bincha me'acharai. And what's going to happen if you give your daughters to their sons? So the father of these children is what? Or what? Are going to go ahead and influence the children to join their idolatrous ways, and will take those children ultimately away from Judaism. What do you see from here? Bincha mi Yisraelis karoi bincha. We'll say, what do we see from something very important? What's the context over here? This is talking about a Jewish woman who married a non-Jewish man. And what does the Torah call the offspring of that union? Bincha, your son. Which tells us what? That a child born of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father is absolutely Jewish. But what else do we learn from here? But we also learn from here is what? So the child that comes from a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, that's called your son. But the child that comes from the union between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, then what? That is not your son. I.e., that child is not Jewish. Rather, that is your son. I will say that's very important. This is halacha lemaisa. This is halacha lemaisa. And in fact, this is the source of the halacha. You've just seen two very important pieces. We've seen over here the idea that shivcha, the children of the offspring of a Jewish man and a shivcha, are not Jewish. That's v'haisha v'yiladet yeladonel. That's mamash the proof text. And again, here you see over here, this is the source for the idea that if a non-Jewish man follows a child with a Jewish woman, that's bincha, that's your son, that's Jewish. But if a Jewish man follows a child with a non-Jewish woman, you learn out from here that what? The child is not Jewish. Am ravina, shma mina, what do we see from here? Ben bitcha haba mina oveko chavim kare bincha. So Ravina said it's clear that we see from here that your grandchild, the son of your daughter, whom she had with a Gentile man, is still considered to be your son, i.e., is full-fledged Jewish. Lema kasava Ravina. So perhaps we would say that Ravina holds Ovid Kochavim, the Eved Haba Bas Yisrael Havlad Kosher. So is Ravina coming to tell us that what Rabbi say? That Lemaisa, if a non-Jewish man fathers a child with a Jewish woman, that the offspring is totally kosher, meaning like bincha, totally Jewish, no problems. Rabbi says, 1 second. Nehi demamzer lohavi, kasher nami lohavi, yisra pasul mikri. But saying, this is very interesting, we're going to get into this more later on. It's true that the offspring of a Jewish mother, a Jewish woman, and a non-Jewish man is not a mamzer, but you also can't call that offspring just kasher. There's this designation that the Gemara calls pasul. Then I will say, what does pasul mean? What does pasul mean? So I'll give you just an example of psul. And we're going to get into this sugya later on. For example, if let's say a Jewish woman has a daughter with non-Jewish man, according to many opinions, that daughter may not marry a kohen. That daughter may not marry a kohen because there is a genealogical blemish on that daughter. Again, when I say some, we'll see it's actually an interesting machlokes in halacha about what to do in such a situation, but there's this concept of psul. So psul means there's a genealogical unfitness that can't necessarily be categorized or characterized within a specific halachic construct. So you're not a mamzer, you're not a chalol, you're not in a sin, you're not this, but there is a blemish. There is a genealogical blemish. So the Gemara says the following. Hi, b'shiva umos ksi. But here's the interesting issue, which is that pasuk that we refer to. We'll say, so now what we're saying over here is the pasuk of Ki Yasiris Bincha Me'acharai teaches us the idea that if a non-Jewish man has a father with a Jewish, has a child with a Jewish woman, then ultimately, again, the child is Jewish. There's only one problem. That pasuk is dafka said by what? By the Sheva Umos. That's talking about the seven nations in Canaan. How do I know that what? That applies to all Gentiles, meaning all I know from that pasuk is that if one of the members of the seven nations that are indigenous to the land of Canaan father a child with a Jewish woman, then lemais again, that offspring is Jewish. But maybe that's a special din in those nations. How do I know that it applies to all Gentiles? To which the Gemara says, ksiv ki yasir l'rabos kalam asirim. Because that phrase of ki yasir, he will turn him away, referring to the father will take the child away from Judaism, is a general open statement to come to include all of those that could take the child away from Judaism, i.e. all potential Gentile fathers. So this makes sense according to Rabbi Shimon, who darshins the reasoning behind Psukim, because you also remember, so according to Rabbi Shimon, what you'll say is like this, what's the whole issue again with the Jewish woman marrying the non-Jewish man, is that the father will exert an influence over the child, and the father will take the child away from Judaism. And I will say, and again, you don't even have to attribute like any kind of like malice-filled intentions. The father is part of a different world. The father's not Jewish. So it's logical to think that the father's going to want his son to perpetuate his value system. system. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, using that logic, then what? It applies to any non-Jewish man. It's not just the din, again, in the seven nations of Canaan. It's any Gentile man. That makes sense, according to Rabbi Shimon, Udashin's time of Dikra. I must say, there's another fundamental dispute about whether or not we darshan the reasoning behind psukim. If we have time at the end, I'll come back and tell you about this machlokis a little bit more. El Rabbanan min alhu, but according to Rabbanan, don't necessarily darshan time at the krah. So how do we know that it comes to include all Gentile men? So the Gemara says, man tana de palagalei de Rabbi Yossi. Who is the tana who argues in Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara says, man tana de palagalei de Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi, because we answer again, who is the tana who is arguing on Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda? In fact, it is none other than Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say again, therefore, the Rabbanon are in conformance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Or in other words, we'll say both parties in this machlokes hold what? Darshin and time of the Kra, that we go ahead and we look at the reasons behind Pesukim. And therefore, again, the phrase of Kiyosir comes to include not only Gentile men from the seven nations of Canaan, but what? Comes also to include, again, Gentile men of every single Gentile nation. So I will say, what comes out, in addition to all the other information we learned, but two very important yisodas that we just learned today. Number one, that if a Jewish man fathers a child with a Shifcha Canaanis, a non-Jewish maidservant, as much as she has kind of like a pinky toe in Judaism, right, there's a sheichas there, nevertheless, that child is not Jewish. How do we know that? Ha'isha v'yiladeha tihiyah la'adoneha. Number one. Halacha number two. If a non-Jewish man fathers a child with a Jewish woman, thank you, the offspring, I should say the other one, if a Jewish man goes ahead and fathers a child with the offspring of a non-Jewish woman, of an Avedas Kochavim, if a Jewish man fathers a child with an Avedas Kochavim, that child is also not Jewish. That's number two we established. On the other hand, number three, if a non-Jewish man fathers a child with a Jewish woman, Lemaisa, again, that child is Jewish. How do we know that? Because Ki Yasir es bincha me'acharai, he will take your child away from me, the he is referring to the non-Jewish husband, and yet what? The offspring is still called bincha. But again, as much as that child is 100% Jewish, there is still a genealogical blemish on that child, what we call psul, and we'll have to further investigate the ramifications of that psul. Mishnah, Amud Beis. Post-ice, hopefully everybody has a sheet, right? Because we're going to refer to this sheet now in just a few moments. It's the double-sided page. This one, double-sided page. This should be, I made a bunch of them. Maybe they're in the back. Okay, this should be in the back if anybody needs. It's taken right out. If you have your scroll Gemara, you have this already in your Gemara. How about I see he's gonna get a little labor dig today. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Misha Kiddush. Misha Kiddush. I know these things get everybody excited. Misha Kiddush. Echas Mishtei Achayas. So listen to this case. A man betrothed one of two sisters. The Ein Yodea Eza Mehen Kiddush. I will say, don't ask how and don't ask why. It doesn't matter, right? Whether it could happen or not is irrelevant. The point is over here, although it would be a fascinating Vart. Can you imagine showing up, right? Mazel Tov, I think, right? Whoever it is. Right? Right, there you go. Misha Kiddush Achas Mishtei Achayos. A man is Mekadesh. A man betroths one of two women. Ve'eini Odeh Ezim Mekiddush. And he's not sure which one he was Mekadesh. So what's the halacha? No saying get lazeh, the get lazu. So we'll say again, if he wants to dissolve the marriage, which is pretty sure to happen if you're not exactly sure who it is that you're married to. So what's the halacha? He has to give a get to each of these women. Obviously, again, he's not sure which one he's married to, which one is Mekadesh. This is Kiddushin. Therefore, the Maisa, again, he has to go ahead and divorce. Now, I will say, if you look at Rashi says over here, Asr b'shtehen, en yodea ezem en kiddush, Asr b'shtehen d'cholchad v'chad ikal memer zu achos ishan. I will say, obviously, the problem is if he's not sure which one he betrothed, so obviously he cannot actually do nisuin with either of them. Why? Because whichever woman he decides to marry, there runs the possibility that she is not the one he betrothed. And not only she's not the one he betrothed, but what? She is the sister of the one he betrothed, which ultimately, again, as we've seen, is an erva. Therefore, the only way for him to remedy this situation is to go ahead and give both of them a get. Watch this. Mace. So let's say same case. He betrothed one of the women, but not sure which one. Mace. Now he died. What happened? Velo ach echad. And what happens? So he dies. He has one surviving brother. Now say, now you have a case over here where he died without children. Obviously without children, because again, well, not obviously without children, but there's no children. And what happens? Now we have a Yibum situation. So what do we do in this case? So Mace, velo ach echad, cholitz l'shteyen. So very simple. The surviving brother has to do chalitza with both of the two sisters. Hayulo shnayim. Let's say again, let's call him for now Reuven. Let's say Reuven had two brothers. Hayulo shnayim. Reuven has two brothers. So the halacha is, Echad cholet ve'echad miyabim. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. So if Reuven had two brothers, Shimon and Levi, so what happens? Shimon does chalitza, and Levi, if he wants, has the ability to go out and do yibam. Now, we'll say, what's the logic behind that? So now again, Reuven died. Shimon does chalitza. Now, Miman of Shach, let's say call him Rachel and Leah. So if Rachel was the wife of Reuven, and Shimon did chalitza with her. So good. So everything is done. And then ultimately, again, Levi's permitted to marry Leah. No problem. However, again, if Rachel was not the wife of Reuven, and it turns out Leah was, then when Shimon marries her, it's what? It's Yibum. So either way, again, after the first brother does chalitza, second brother has the ability to marry the other wife. This is, but again, it only works, of course, with the other wife. Meaning, if Shimon does chalitza with Rachel, then ultimately, again, Levi can't marry Rachel. It only works to marry the other wife. Okay, Gemara goes weiter. Kidmu v'kinsu. What happens again? What happens if both brothers went ahead? Kidmu v'kinsu. Let's say again, the brother went ahead and married her first. What's the halacha? Ein motzid mi adam. So we'll say, then we don't go ahead and, this is actually an interesting case. Let's say both brothers, so again, Reuven dies, leaves behind Rachel and Leah, and remember again, he's married to one of them, we don't know which one. So again, the Gemara prescribed the process. Brother A should do chalitza with one of the women, and then brother B has the ability to marry the other one. If he doesn't have to marry the other one, but he has the ability to marry the other one. Let's say again, however, Shimon and Levi, the surviving brothers, both go ahead and marry Rachel and Leah. They both married Rachel before anyone did chalit. So then what? Ein motzin miyadam. And we'll say, what does ein motzin miyadam mean? We don't force them to get divorced. And we'll say, why don't we force them to get divorced? Because remember, each one has a valid halachic claim, which is what? I'm not married to the wife of Reuven. Right? I'm married to the other one. And you say to Shimon, right? How can you have married her? This is the possibility that this is your brother's wife. No, this wasn't her. It was Leah who's the married brother's wife. And you go over to Levi, who's married to Leah, and you say, what? You're married to your brother's wife? No, Shimon's married to my brother. So because, again, from a halachic perspective, there is no way to know exactly who it is that each one is married to. Therefore, Lemaisa, again, if we don't want them to marry them proactively, we'd rather do chalitza first. But Lemaisa, if you did it, you can't force them to dissolve the marriage. We'll say, now watch this. If that wasn't complicated enough, right? I'm sorry? There is Yibum, because one of them is the wife of Reuven. Let's go back there. Shmuel, I love you, but I have 10 minutes. Shnayim Shekitshu. So now the case gets a little bit more complicated. Take a look at picture A. Take a look at picture A on your sheet. So now what happens? Two brothers were Mekadesh two sisters. Okay. So get ready for this. Okay. So you have Reuven and Shimon. And what happens again? Picture A. And you have Gershon and Kos. I don't know why they choose Gershon and Kos, but all right. So, well, I know why they did it, because you can remember, these two, they want to make it clear that the two sets of brothers are not in any way related to each other. Okay, so I mean, it's not four brothers, so it's two brothers and two brothers. All right, now what happened? Shnayim Shekitshu Shtei Achayos, Ze Einu Yod, I'm sorry. Shtayim Shekitshu Shtei Achayos, Ze Einu Yodea, Eze Kiddush. So get ready for this. So now, two brothers betrothed two sisters. So this, if you're looking at picture A, this is the second line in picture A. So what happened over here? So two brothers went ahead and were Mekadesh two sisters. And what happened? And neither one was sure which one he was Mekadesh. So we'll say again, in this particular case over here, two sets of unrelated brothers, one brother from each set, right, was Mekadesh one woman, but was not sure which one he was Mekadesh. Okay? So again, it's actually, it's not that complicated. I mean, it's complicated, but it's not that complicated. So you see over here, you have Reuven and Gershon. So Reuven was Mekadesh, one of two women. Rachel is not sure who. Gershon was Mekadesh, one of two women. He's not sure exactly. Yeah, picture A. He's... I'm sorry. The other side. Picture, yeah. Picture A, right? He's not sure. So, right? So, Reuven was Mekadesh, one of the women. So, Gershon was Mekadesh, one of the women. And again, neither is sure exactly which one he was Mekadesh. Ze eni yodeh ezeh kiddush, v'ze eni yodeh ezeh kiddush. So, what's the halacha? Ze nosin shnei gittin, v'ze nosin shnei gittin. So, we'll say again. So, before we get to anyone dying, so Reuven and Gershon were Mekadesh, one of these two women, Rachel Lea. So, Reuven was Mekadesh, one of them. Gershon was Mekadesh, one of them. Neither knows which one they were Mekadesh. Fine. Not a problem. Reuven has to give two gittin, one to Rachel and Lea. And Gershon has to give two gittin, one to Rachel and Lea. Fine. Of course, where does it get complicated? Mesu. Now, Rabosei, let's say Reuven and Gershon die. So when Reuven and Gershon die, what happens? Mesu. Lezeach echad ulezeach, excuse me. Lezeach ulezeach. So Rabosei, if both Gershon and Reuven each leave behind one surviving brother, then what? And Rabosei, that's, again, we're still in picture A. Now we're up to the third line. There are two surviving brothers left, Reuven's brother Shimon and Gershon's brother Kehas. So very simple. Zecholitz l'shtehen, v'zecholitz l'shtehen. So Rabosei, what do Gershon and Kehas both have to do? Again, they essentially take the role of their deceased brothers, and therefore they both have to do chalitza with both of these women. Fine. Now it gets a little bit more complicated. Leze echad uleze shtayim. We both say, now to go picture B. Let's say Reuven has only one brother, one surviving brother. And what? Reuven has one brother, and Gershon has two brothers. And Rabosai, same case, where again, Reuven and Gershon both betrothed the woman, only one problem, which is what? They're not sure which woman they betrothed. So Rabosai, again, remember, when Reuven and Gershon are alive, so Lemaisik, and the process is always the same, which is, they both give two gittin. They both give two gittin to each woman. Where it gets complicated is where Reuven and Gershon did not remedy the situation before dying. So now in this next case, which is picture B, now we're up to the third line. So what happened? Lezeshnaim. So both say, so now Reuven and Gershon die. So Reuven leaves behind one brother, Shimon, and Gershon leaves behind two brothers, Kehas and Merari. So watch this. What's that halacha? Hayochid choleis l'shtein. So both say, Reuven's surviving brother Shimon has to do chalitza with both of these women. Okay, so choleis l'shtein. I'm sorry. Hayochid choleis l'shtehem v'ashnayim. And Rabbi say, what about Gershon's two surviving brothers? Watch this. Hashnayim. Echad choleitz, so kahas. I'm now picture B. So kahas, last line, looking at the right hand of the line, kahas does chalitza with one of the women, the echad miyabin. And what? And Rabosai, Merari has the ability, if he so pleases, to go ahead and do yibum with the other woman. So we'll say, essentially, what ends up happening is, when there is another surviving brother, so by the time, as long as Kahas does chalitza with one of the women, Lemais, again, what it does is, it opens up the second wife for Merari. Second wife for Merari. That should Merari want to do yibum, essentially, again, his brother has covered the chalitza. So we'll say, this pretty much, it goes back, this becomes the same case as we saw before. Same case as two brothers. That's where the first brother does chalitza with one of the women. So Iman of Shach, if that woman was the wife of my deceased brother, so now chalitza has been done, and Lamaisa again, this other woman is totally permitted to me. If the first woman with whom Kahas did chalitza was not the wife of the deceased brother Gershon, then what? Then it's Yibum. So either way, again, the second brother, in this case, the third brother, the second surviving brother, is permitted to do Yibum. Kidmu v'kinsu. Let's say, again, the brothers, before they did Chalitza, before they went through this process, married these women. Again, Halacha is the same. Ein motzin miyadam. You don't go ahead and force them to get divorced. Because Rabosai, remember again, essentially, because once they're married, each brother could claim that he's married to the one who was not the wife of his brother. Okay, lezeshnayim with lezeshnayim. We'll say, okay, so now, get ready, turn the page. Okay, so this is the Grand Royale over here. So here we go, so lezeshnayim with lezeshnayim. We'll say, so let's say again, Both Reuven and Gershon have surviving brothers, two surviving brothers. Okay, lezeshnayim with lezeshnayim. Achiv shalzeh choleitz laachos. So we'll say now skip down. Same thing, same case. Reuven and Gershon both betrothed a woman, not sure which woman. So again, second line tells us while they're alive, what do? They both give a get. If let's say they die to each of the women, let's say they die before they're able to give a get. So what's the halacha? So now go to the third line in diagram C. So what happens? Achiv shalzeh choleitz laachos, va'achiv shalzeh choleitz laachos. So we'll say, watch this. So what do we do? How do we remedy this situation? So let's look at this. Now remember again, Reuven and Gershon are dead. Both of them have left behind two brothers. So what's the halacha? Shimon does chalitza with one woman, and his brother Levi has the ability to marry the other. Kehas does chalitza with one woman, and his brother Merari has the ability to marry the other one. So we'll say, again, you have to understand, it looks complicated, but it's actually not complicated. All it's saying is, in the case where you leave behind multiple surviving brothers, in the case of a safek, once the first brother does chalitza, it frees up the other brother to marry the other wife. Because in Manavshach, if the first brother's chalitza was effective, then this woman is totally permitted to the other brother. And if the first brother's chalitza wasn't effective because that wasn't the deceased brother's wife, then what? It's actually Yibum. So the Gemara says, Achiv shalzeh cholitz la'achas, achiv shalzeh miyabim, chalutzasa shalzeh, v'achiv shalzeh miyabim, chalutzasa shalzeh. So we'll say, what ends up happening is, as you can see in the picture, so Levi will end up marrying the chalutza of Kehas, and Merari will end up marrying the chalutza of Shimon. Okay, kadmu shnayim v'choltzu v'lo yibmu. If again, if Lemaisa the two came forward and did chalitza and did not do yibum, I'm sorry, chalutza shazah. Kidmushnaim v'choltzu lo yibmu hashnayim. If the two came forward first and did chalitza, then the other two should not go ahead and do yibum. Ela echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. But rather, one should do chalitza, one should do yibum. We'll define this case in the Gemara. Kidmu v'kinsu, again, I'll say same thing. If before they did chalitza, they went ahead and they married. So lemaisa again, ein motzin miyadam. We do not dissolve those marriages. Says the Gemara. Shmamina, what do we learn from this Mishnah? No idea, right? What do we learn from this Mishnah? Very important yisod. Kiddushin she'ein misurin labia haba kiddushin. So we actually learn a very important halachic concept, which is that a kiddushin in which bia can never occur, which can never lead to bia, is still called a valid kiddushin. I'm going to say, how do we see that from the Mishnah? Because remember, again, let's go back. How did this all start? Reuven was mekadesh to a woman, right? One of two sisters, Rachel and Boaz. He didn't know which one. The Rabbi will say, that is the Kiddushin She'in Mesurin Labia, which means that there can never be that marriage will never result in Bia. How do we know that? Because Lamaisa, again, he can't. It's a suffix. Meaning, and therefore, remember, the reason why he can never have Bia with one of those two women is why? Because although she might be his wife, she might not be his wife. She might be the sister of his wife, and that's an Isser Erva. But you see, so there's a big machlokes. If a marriage that can never result in Bia is called a valid halachic marriage or not. So the Gemara says, you see from here that even a marriage that can't result in Bia is still called a marriage. So the Gemara says, how come I ask, you know, what's the case over here? No. Kishahukru ulvasof nizavra. This actually, I think, makes it worse. What's the case over here? The case is, no, Reuven knew who the Kala was, but what happened? At one point in time, he knew her, but then what? He got confused afterwards. So meaning, he went ahead, at the time of the Kiddushin, he knew who his wife was. Which means, again, that at the time of Kiddushin, it was what? It was the Kiddushin HaMesurin LeBia. Bia was possible. Then later on, again, remember, don't try to rack your mind, rack your brain as to how this could happen. Because remember, again, the Gemara always deals in cases that could probably never happen, but that's okay. Sometimes the best way to go ahead and bring out the halacha is through the absurd. This is absurd, but that's okay. It helps us illustrate the principles. But the point over here is the case is where he knew the Kala, therefore at the time of Kiddushin, it was a Kiddushin HaMesurin LeBia, and then afterwards the confusion set in. Gemara says, Dekanami, I can prove this, Diktani, Ve'ein Yodea. Because the Lashon of the Mishnah says, Misha Kiddush Achas Mishtei Achayos Ve'ein Yodea. And Yodea means what? Now he doesn't know. Velo katani ve'eno yadua. So you're both saying, a lashon of ein yadua means what? It was not known. Which would mean what? It was never known from the beginning. Ein yodea means, I knew. I knew, but now what? However, I don't know. Now I'm a little bit confused. Shema minas. Gemara says, my kamash malon. So what's the chiddush in all of this? What's the chiddush in this Mishnah? The first case is obvious. A man betrothes one woman, but she gets confused which one of two sisters he betrothed. Lemaisa, again, he has to give them both kinnas. What's the chiddush in all of this? But as I'll tell you, seifa tzrichalei, because the end of the Mishnah is necessary. Why? Because what does the seifa say? Meis velo ach echad, choleitz l'shteyan. Because what does the seifa say? If Reuven dies and leaves behind the surviving brother, the surviving brother has to do chalitz with both of them. Hayelo shnayim, if you left behind two surviving brothers, echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim, one has to do chalitz, one does yibum. So what's the chiddush? Davka michlatz v'hadar yibume. Because what's the halacha? We'll say the first brother must do chalitz, and then only afterwards could yibum occur. Aba yibume bereisha lo. But Rabbi say again, so interesting, what's the real point of the Mishnah? That in this case of where Reuven dies and leaves behind two surviving brothers, the process has to be first chalitza, and then only afterwards, yibum. Why? Because if you do yibum first, then what, Rabbi say? It sounds like the woman you're doing yibum with is what? Was not your brother's wife, but in fact was, again, the sister of your brother's wife, in which case, again, you're having relations now with the sister of the Yavama, which is Aser. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the way yibum could happen as long as what? As long as chalitza happens for us. We'll say, stop over here. The journey comes to an end for today. And Yeretz Hashem will pick up tomorrow. It's a long day tomorrow. All right, you'll stay tuned for the schedule.
Everybody is confused in this case.
Yeah. But again, that's why Lemaisa, again, you don't have to rack your mind trying to figure out the how, because the how could something like this happen? Doesn't matter. The point is, the case is here to illustrate the principle.